Amen. Good morning. Wow, this is a beautiful sight. Yes, I am so glad to be with you this morning. I can't think of any place I'd rather be than right here. And by the way, before I get started, happy birthday. April 4th, 1999, New Life Church started, our very first church service. Amen. So we're a know-it-all 22-year-old. Turn to your neighbor and say, happy birthday. And I appreciate, I know that I just saw it on your faces. I still have my glasses on. When I take my glasses on, I can't see you. Off when I take them on, off, so I can't see you. So when you start falling asleep, I don't notice. But I got them on right now, and I saw the incredulity in your faces when I told you that this church is 22 years old, because I don't look that old to have a church that old. So anyway, thanks for that. I appreciate it. All right, where are you? All right, those of you online, welcome this morning. We're so glad to have you with us. We're going to be, our text is going to be in John chapter 20 this morning, if you want to turn there with me. And I want you to, before we get started, I want to go back in time with you. Not like a long, long time ago, long enough when, you remember when somebody would come to your door and you wouldn't pull the shades and turn off the lights and pretend like you're not home? So that far back, before you had a Ring doorbell image on your phone where you could look to see who is at your door, right? That far back. And somebody would knock or they'd ring your doorbell, and how would you respond? You would shout, who's there? I mean, that's the next best thing to ring. Who's there? And you would open the door, or you wouldn't open the door based on the response you heard. If there was a familiar voice on the other side, you might open the door for them. And so that's the picture that Jesus paints, and John records for us in the book of Revelation when Jesus was talking to the church in Laodicea. He says in Revelation 3:20, see, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. It's a beautiful picture. The sad part of it is that Jesus is on the outside trying to get back in the church. But Jesus told his disciples something similar in John chapter 10. He said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And I think of all the wonderful pictures in the New Testament and all the great images that Jesus paints for us in the Gospels. Man, that one ranks pretty high on my list, that Jesus knows my name and he calls me by it. I mean, in all the stuff he's got to do, running the world, pandemics, you name it, he knows me and calls me by name, and he knows you and he calls you by name. And I think that is the closeness that makes me feel to the Lord is one of the reasons why I think that I'm so taken with the Easter story from Mary Magdalene's perspective, which is what we're going to be reading this morning. It's John chapter 20. We'll start in verse 1 and go through 18. It says, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb while it was still dark. And she saw the stone had been removed from the tomb, and so she went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and she said to them, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. At that, Peter and the other disciple went out, heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Now, John's pretty proud of that fact, and he's going to repeat it several times that he won. Verse 6, in following him, Simon Peter also came. He entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. The wrapping that had been on Jesus' head was not lying with the linen cloths, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. And the other disciple who reached the tomb first then went in and saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she was crying, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, woman, why are you crying? Because they've taken away my Lord, she told them, and I don't know where they put him. And having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Woman, Jesus said to her, why are you crying? Who is it you're seeking? And supposing he was a gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And turning around, Jesus said to, she said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means "my teacher." "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "since I have not ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them that I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said to her. Maybe you noticed as we were reading that text together that Mary didn't at first recognize Jesus. She didn't initially know Jesus when she saw him. She was grieving. She was weeping. The tears were flowing. The snot was flowing. I'm sorry, it's a little graphic, but you've been there. She was grieving and weeping, and then she gets to the tomb and it's empty. And now she's panicking because she's certain her Lord's body has been removed. And so Jesus approaches her and he addresses her as "woman." He says, "Woman, why are you crying?" And by the way, that doesn't sound great to our modern Western ears, but that is a polite way to address ladies in the first century. I do not recommend it, husbands, when you go home, start calling your wife "woman." I tried it once. I told her, "Hey, woman, this is biblical." Anyway, it doesn't work. So he says, "Woman, who are you looking for?" And she thinks it's the gardener. But when Jesus says with that familiar voice, "Mary," she knew immediately who she was talking to. That's when recognition occurred, when Jesus said her name. Because she'd heard that voice many times before, many years before. The first time she heard that voice, Luke chapter 8 tells us what it was like. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. "Afterward, Jesus was traveling from town to town and village to village, preaching and telling the good news of the kingdom. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary called Magdalene, 7 demons had come out of her. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, Susanna, and many others who were supporting them from their possessions, from their finances." They were financially supporting Jesus' ministry. So back then, in their initial encounter, when Jesus first met Mary, when Jesus first spoke her name, his voice was a voice of compassion. His voice was a voice of acceptance. His voice was a voice of power. Bible tells us that Mary was one of several women who Jesus had healed, that she was spiritually tormented by demons, 7 demons, perhaps manifesting themselves in physical suffering. Jesus spoke her name and set her free. And I wonder how that first meeting went, because Luke doesn't really tell us much about it. When Jesus, the Son of God, meets this demon-possessed woman, did she cry out in scorn and mockery like other demon-possessed people had done? Did she cower in fear, afraid of his power? Did she just faint? We don't know. All we do know is she needed help. She needed a Savior. And Jesus spoke her name. He called her name. He had compassion on her. He accepted her when no one else had. He ministered to her powerfully, and he set her free from the bondage of sin that she was in. And I think it's interesting, to me at least, that Mary was the first encounter with Jesus after the resurrection. Peter and John run there. They enter the tomb. They don't see anything, and they leave. Mary's the one that gets to meet Jesus. And I think it's significant because Mary had one of the more dramatic conversion experiences recorded in the Bible. I think God's trying to tell us something about the power of the resurrection. Because without the resurrection, there's no conversion. It's the resurrection power that changes people. It's the resurrection power that sets people free. The world will tell you, listen, freedom comes from high thinking, meditation, low carbs, denying yourself pleasure, throwing yourself into pleasure. That's how you get set free. But the Bible tells us that freedom only comes from conversion, a change of our hearts. And conversion comes through a relationship with the resurrected Lord Jesus, not a dead philosopher, not even a dead Jesus, but the living God. Paul the Apostle put it this way: if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. If there's no Easter Sunday, then Good Friday didn't matter. But Mary can tell us the power of the resurrection. She experienced that power, and it set her free. You see, the power of sin bound Mary Magdalene. Power of sin nailed Jesus to the cross. But it was the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. It was the power of God that set Mary free. And that same power, as Pastor Jeff reminded us this morning, is here for you and me. The same power that freed Mary is here for you and me today. Just as Jesus called that demon-possessed woman's name so many years ago, he's calling your name today. Don't you hear him? Don't ignore him. When Jesus calls your name, that familiar voice, and you hear that voice, and you open the door, you respond, it'll change you. Now, like I said, we don't know much about Mary before her conversion. All we do know is after her conversion. We know she's from a town called Magdala. We know she had seven demons. We know that Jesus changed her life. One of the ways Jesus changed her life is she became a leader. Every New Testament list, which enumerates these female disciples, except for one list, every one of them lists Mary first. And while the other disciples were hiding in fear, it was Mary who was at the cross at Golgotha. It was Mary at the resurrection. It was Mary who led the rest of the disciples to believe that Jesus had actually risen from the grave. She became a leader. I want you to see with me in chapter 19 of John, beginning in verse 25, this was at the crucifixion, and it says, standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing there, he said to his mother, woman, here is your son. And then he said to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. Okay, that's that beautiful scene at Jesus' dying moment when he entrusts his mother to the care of John. But we notice as we read that something pretty peculiar. Of the 12, only John is present. But Mary Magdalene's there. In fact, Mark tells us that when they took Jesus' body from the cross on Good Friday at 6 p.m., after he had been dead for 3 hours on the cross, they took his body down, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. And it says, after he brought him, bought some linen cloth, Joseph took him down, wrapped him in that linen, and they laid him in a tomb cut out of the rock and rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were watching where he was laid. So Mary was at the crucifixion and at Jesus' burial. Jesus' big-name disciples are noticeably absent at Jesus' crucifixion. When John the Baptist was murdered, John the Baptist's disciples buried him. But Jesus' disciples don't bury him. Now, of course, I understand that disciples are fearful. They're hiding. They're worried that they'll be arrested and that a similar cross will have their name on it. So I don't sit in judgment on them. I'm just pointing out that Mary never left Jesus' side. She was there at the crucifixion. She was there at the burial. Jesus had shown this woman love and acceptance when no one else in the world had. He'd healed her body. He had healed her heart. He had healed her soul. And so she repaid that kindness as best she could in life, in her ministry, in supporting his ministry. She repaid that kindness in death by the vigilant attendance at the cross. She refused to leave his side. She refused to look away. She suffered every blow. She suffered every agonizing breath with Jesus. She was a follower of Jesus. She followed him to the end. Throughout the gospel, she's called Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene 11 times. Once she's called Mary called Magdalene. And that lets her know that Magdala is not her surname, it's not her last name, but it's a nickname given to her. There was a town where, from which she hailed called, on the Sea of Galilee, called Migdal Nunia. And it literally means tower of fish. It's a strange place to come from. Where are you from? Fish Tower. But I don't know, you've been to Texas. We got some cool names of towns. She was from there. It was known for its fish. It was on the Sea of Galilee. It was known for its fish salting industry. It was known for its skyline because there was a tower in the town. That's what Magdala means. It's a word for tower. And so I believe, because Jesus loved nicknames so much, that that's the nickname he gave her. Not that it's just Mary who comes from the tower town, but Jesus loved to give names that meant something. So he calls Peter, he calls Simon Peter or Petrus, the rock. James and John are the sons of thunder. There's Thomas Didymus, that means Thomas the twin. There's Simon the zealot, there's James the younger, and there's Mary Magdala. Mary the tower. She was steadfast, she was strong, she was prominent. You don't ignore towers. They don't typically escape your attention. What do you notice when you look at Denton's skyline? Not much to it, except a couple towers. Bible commentator Origen in the 2nd, 3rd century said, interpreted her name to mean the tower of spiritual greatness. And Jerome called it, he called her a steadfast watchtower at the crucifixion. So in an age where women were not allowed to be reliable witnesses, in the Old Testament it says two or three witnesses, those have to be males. When women weren't allowed to be reliable witnesses, she was the first. In an age where women weren't seen to make contributions to society except for childbirth, she ministered to the Lord. In an age when women couldn't be a rabbi's disciple, she showed signs of authentic discipleship all the way to the end. She followed the Lord. She served the Lord because he had changed her. In an age where women weren't known for their bravery, she was a tower of strength. That's what the power of the resurrection will do. When Jesus calls your name and you open your heart to him, he will change you. She became a leader. She also became a minister. We read that Mary served Jesus and the rest of the disciples out of her means, out of her finances. There are also two interesting legends about Mary after the New Testament closed. The Eastern Church says that Mary traveled with John to Ephesus. The Western Church says that Mary traveled as a missionary to the south of France. And they still have feast days for her there in France. Now, I would choose the south of France if I'm going on a mission trip. But that's just me. Now, we don't know if either one of those traditions are true, of course, but I include them because they reveal an important underlying fact that the church understood, the early church understood. When God calls your name, he changes your direction. We're not given the option to get saved and sit. God calls us to make us ministers. Paul said it this way, "For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." He's created good works for us to walk in. So Mary went from self-consumed with her dire demonic condition to fully God-consumed. She changed directions. It was a 180. So my question this morning is for something for you to think about is, what direction are you going? Are you focused on things? Are you focused on your job? Are you focused on yourself? Are you focused on the world events that are swirling around us? Are you consumed with feelings of failure or inadequacy? Are you on friendly terms with the world? Are you headed in the wrong direction? Jesus is calling you today. Do you hear his voice? It's a familiar voice. Don't ignore it. He's calling you to change direction. He's calling you to give you purpose in life. When Jesus calls you, he changes you, but he gives you a purpose for living. It's interesting to me, as I said, that Mary didn't recognize Jesus at first. She was weeping. When my daughter Reagan was little, I don't remember what happened. It was a very emotional event, obviously, because she was crying. She was crying, crying, crying. It went on forever. And I finally said to her, "Reagan, are you finished crying yet?" I mean, that sounds mean, but it didn't come across me. And I said, "Are you finished crying yet?" And she said, "No, Daddy, I'm at the part." Mary didn't recognize Jesus. She was at the part. Her eyes were filled with tears. Her head was hung low. Not to mention, the last person you'd expect to run into is the guy you just saw murdered days before. But when she heard that name, when he addressed her woman, she didn't understand. She didn't get it. But when he said Mary, like he'd said so many times before, she recognized her Lord. And he said, "Mary, I have an important message for you." And I think there's two important messages that he would tell us as well this morning. The first thing Jesus said to her in verse 17 is, "Don't cling to me." Verse 17, "Don't cling to me," Jesus told her, "since I have not ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." First, he says, "Don't cling to me." Now, Mary recognized Jesus, and once she recognized him, of course, she's overcome with joy. You imagine it like flipping a switch, 100% grief to 100% joy, just like that. Imagine what it was like, joy, excitement. And she did what any one of us would have done. She embraced the Lord. She embraced him. And I like the way it's translated here. In my version, it says, "Don't cling to me." Some other versions say, "Don't hold on to me." But "don't cling to me," the Greek literally says, "Don't touch me." But in Matthew 28, other women are shown touching Jesus. And so the difference here, and probably the way they interpreted what I like about it, is that Mary seemed to not want to let go. "Don't cling to me." She didn't want to let go. She was hanging on. And I don't blame her one bit. A huge loss had been restored to her. But Jesus' response, what he's telling her is, what he's telling us is that the Easter message of new life, the salvation we have received through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, that salvation message, that new life message of resurrection, is not something to be held on to selfishly, to cling to just for ourselves. It is a message that must be shared. And so Jesus isn't saying, "Don't touch me." He's saying, "I need you to do something else. Don't cling to me. I have something else for you to do." Verse 17, he says, "Go to my brothers and tell them." God gave Mary a commission. He gave her a job. He gave her a task. And I want you to think about that for a moment. This woman with a scandalous, demonic past had been unaccepted her whole life, been mistreated her whole life, been ignored her whole life, honored by Jesus, given a nickname. In my house, if you get a nickname, it means you're loved. She was a tower. And he gives her this commission. He says, "Go to my brothers and tell her." So here she is. She's a messenger of the Lord, an ambassador for the risen King. She is the world's first missionary. When God calls our name, he changes us. He gives us a new direction. He gives us that same commission to join his body, to join his church, and to go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. See, God's voice gives us purpose. It allows us to become part of something bigger than just us. And I think the Lord would remind us, as great a treasure as we have found in the Lord Jesus, we can't selfishly cling to him, but we got to share it with our neighbors. We got to share it with our world. We're so glad that you're with us this morning. We're so glad that you're with us online this morning, this beautiful Easter Sunday. We've been praying for you. And I'll tell you what we've been praying. We've been praying that this morning you would hear the familiar voice of the Lord Jesus call your name and that you would respond. That you'd look on the Ring app of your heart and see Jesus there. And you'd open the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. He's calling your name this morning. He knows you intimately. He knows the good. He knows the bad. But the thing about his love for you is it is 100% unconditional. He takes us exactly as we are. His love for Mary, unconditional. Jesus is calling you today to open the door of your heart. He desires to come in to your life and change. He wants to change your direction. He wants to give you a purpose for living. Don't you hear him? His familiar voice is calling this morning. Won't you please respond? Let's pray together. Lord, I believe that still small voice you describe in your word, the voice of the Lord Jesus we read about this morning, calling Mary's name. Lord, that you're here in our midst this morning calling our names. And I'm so glad when I was 7 years old, I heard you call my name. And I opened the door of my heart. I invited you into my life. I am so glad, Lord, that you changed me. I'm so glad you changed my direction. I'm so glad you gave me a purpose in life. Lord, and throughout this room and in our living rooms across the nation, wherever we are, you've called our voices. Many of us have heard. Many of us responded. And so, Lord, we're here today to thank you. We're here today to celebrate the power of the resurrection that has changed our lives. And we're here to accept your commission, not to cling to that message, but to go to our brothers and sisters, to go to our nation and tell them the good news. And Lord, I believe there are people in this room this morning, people online that are watching, that maybe you're hearing your voice for the first time. So easy to not hear, Lord. So easy for it to be drowned out with the din of noise and confusion that surrounds us these days. But Lord, the people are hearing your voice today. You're calling their name. You're knocking on the door of their heart. Lord, give them the grace this morning to open those hearts. Give them the grace this morning to receive you so that you might change them the way you've changed us, the way you changed Mary. You take the dry bones and resurrect them and give them life again. This morning, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Anybody here this morning wants to share with me a decision you've made? If today was the day that you opened the door of your heart for Jesus for the first time, you heard that familiar voice calling your name, you opened that door, would you just raise your hand and let me see? Amen. Lord, as we close in worship, we say thank you again that you know our names and you call us by name. Give us the courage every day to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. You stand up and then we're going to finish with one more song and then I'll come out and dismiss. Here we go. Hey, thanks so much for worshiping with us. It is such a joy to be with you. Honestly, I can't express what it means to have a full house and see all your smiling faces and to worship with you. And so we have, we're going to have altar ministry here. If you made a decision today or you need somebody to pray with you, you need the power of resurrection in your life over anything, your health, your finances, your relationships, would you let us pray with you? And you can also pray with us online. There's a phone number. It should be in your feed, so look for that and give us an opportunity. If you made a decision today and you're online, you can email us and let us know, and we'll contact you throughout the rest of this week. Now, we're going to go. The kids are going to do an Easter egg hunt, and so they're going to meet and stage over here on the sidewalk by the crosses, and then you'll be instructed from there what to do. But you're welcome, all of you older folks like me, are welcome to watch. And sometimes they share some of their candy. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. God bless you. Happy Easter.